Well, I kept putting things on his plate because he met the challenge, and I didn't think he was having a problem. I want you to know it's an absolute honor to be here tonight at Bellevue, and what this church does in the community, I know, is such a blessing to the community of Nashville and your global outreach. I don't know the impact that you're making, but I know it's tremendous. Blake and I go back a long time. In fact, go back further than before he was born, because I served as a minister with his father, and I served as ministers. And we come to really love each other, and my wife and his mother. And then Blake came along, and to see the dynamic minister you've become is just does my heart so much good. It's just wonderful. But thanks for the invitation. Great to be here. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The word joy, I noticed that it was spoke about last Wednesday, and I want to kind of begin with that because, you know, we have taken the word of God, we've taken the Bible, and we said this is the word of God, and that's right. That's one of the things I love about our fellowship, is that we have embraced it. We said this is the word of God. We are going to tailor our lives, our worship, our ministry. It's all going to be around the word of God. And yet with that must come joy, you know. I like this passage, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Or Psalms 32:11, rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Or how about this one? John 15:11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. In light of that, just permit me to read 11 verses from John 2. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he says. Do whatever he says. Nearby stood six stone water jars and the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And so they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine, and he did not realize where he had come from. Though the servants had drawn the water new, then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. Verse 11. This, the first of his miracle signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee, and he thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Michelle lives in Michigan, by the way. She works for 7-Eleven. And she met this guy, he's a customer. He came into the 7-Eleven. Now, I want you to know, Michelle loves her customers, Michelle loves her job, and Michelle loves her community. So why wouldn't she have a wedding with this guy who professed his love to her in the asphalt in the front of the 7-Eleven with her bouquet in a super gulp cup? And by the way, let's have the reception there, because the owner said that we could have a discount with the slushies and the hot dogs. Or how about the Tacoma Bridge? There is a bridge there, and I read this the other day, Tacoma Narrow Supportive Bridge. There's 18 stories high, and this couple decided they wanted to have their honeymoon there. Their wedding there, and was probably the longest aisle, they said, ever. Well, how about the transfer station in Maine? This young lady brings her recycling for the first time and meets the guy that's working there, and she just head over heels, you know, and he's the same. And so where you get head over heels, have a wedding and take the vows in a bucket loader. You know, weddings as a whole are not memorable to guests that come. And I think of all the years that I've been in ministry and how many weddings I've done. But to the family and to the bride and groom, it is special. But weddings only stay within your mind when something out of the ordinary happens. Like just before I left to come home from Africa, I saw Ed Duthie. Ed Duthie is the first wedding I ever went to. And I'll never forget his wedding because Ed, when he was given the ring, dropped it. It went down to the front pew and I can still see him crawling under there to go get it. Never forgot. Or how about one wedding I did where the bridesmaid was coming in and as she entered into the building, she tripped and fell in the flower bed. Or what about the preacher that's smiling and calling the bride and the groom by the wrong names? How about that? This wedding is going to be an ordinary wedding until this happens. The cry goes out, they are out of wine. Now that doesn't happen in this day and time. It does not happen. And something has to be corrected. Mary gets wind of it, and I can just see her saying, I'm reading between the lines, saying, oh, no, don't worry. My son, he can fix anything. You know, he'll take care of it. Go speak to him. And Jesus does take care of it. And he does. And it's between, they fill the pots, and it's between 108 to 180 gallons of wine that he makes. Can I just stop you for a minute and just say that Jesus is there, and he's there because, well, he brings joy, doesn't he? That's what Jesus does. Wherever, whatever environment he's in, he brings joy. What do we? I mean, if someone sees me before I see them, will they hide? Because they know when they speak to me, all I'm going to do is complain and gripe and do whatever, but it's negativity that's going to approach them. Jesus brought joy. In fact, Jesus made this comment, you know, woman, you know, why? In fact, she says, what concern is that to you and to me about shortage of wine? Don't you know, time isn't quite right yet, you know, for me to just start this ministry. But listen, he doesn't want to upset this. He wants to make it a happy time. It's wonderful being a child of Jesus Christ and taking on his qualities, and one being joy. I would ask the question, so what's the point of all of this? Oh, well, Jesus changed water into wine, and, you know, he kind of, no, let me tell you, they expect us to go a step far higher than that, because verse 11 said, remember that the disciples put their faith in him. No, this is about transformation, not just the meager transformation of 180 gallons of water into wine. This is about transformation of lives. And these disciples sit there and they go, whoa. And what Jesus is doing is inviting us in the story to, look, I've opened a door for you. Are you willing to come through? And whatever anxieties and problems you have, are you willing to step in? Because if I transform you, I will give everything that you need to meet the challenges that's going to come your way. And you have no idea the blessings that's going to touch you in your life. How about this one? You're going to come through that door and opportunities are going to often be disguised as problems. And I want you to know that I'm going to transform your mind and you're not going to think that way anymore. So here I am in Africa, my wife and I was born in Cape Town, raised in Zimbabwe, as Blake said, and met this lovely Southern belle from Alabama. You know, I grew up with a British background and they drank hot tea and I never liked it. And I just felt like there was some sort of Southern girl that'd make iced tea. And I'm sure glad that I found iced tea and found that lovely, lovely woman. And I want to, you know, people say, well, Dorian, you got an accent. I say, well, yeah, I got an accent. But I tell you what, when that Southern belle opened up her mouth, wow. That, I just love the Southern accent, you know. 43 years down the road, so we decided that our children are grown, so why don't we head to Africa and let's begin something quite unique. Let's look at the life of Jesus one more time and let's see the comprehensive nature of his lifestyle. And it broke down into good works and to good news. I mean, Jesus' ultimate is pointing us to eternity, isn't he? But even while he was here, he fed and he clothed, didn't he? And so we decided that we would begin this ministry within that context. And so we have the ACT project, which is Africa Container Transport. And you know, I had no Church of Christ website to go to and say, well, yeah, this is the way you do this, because I mean, we shipping, you know. I thought initially, if we shipped 120 foot a year, wouldn't that be awesome? And would there be enough churches to give us clothes and textbooks and all of that? I mean, could we actually fill one? Well, I want you to know, last year we shipped 3 40-foots. I mean, and each 40-foot is 1,250 banana boxes. And we've got people just like you. And by the way, I just want to say, women, keep shopping. the clothes we get is just tremendous. It's awesome. And so on the other end, this is when it arrives. And we are able, with one container, to bless 15 churches and their communities. I want to ask you, how many banana boxes of clothes could you carry? So I saw some of them carry 4 on their head and then 3 with their arms, 7. It's quite impressive, isn't it? And I thank Walmart, you know, because we get all our banana boxes from Walmart. And when it gets there, you know what they ask? They ask, is it possible for us to keep the banana box too, because we need it for chest of drawers. We're such a wealthy people, aren't we? We have the DAD project, drilling and drip irrigation. We our goal was 50 wells in 10 years. We are at 60, and we've begun our ninth year in February of this year. And we are so thankful, because there are villages and communities where life expectancy is 30 to 37 years. And one major reason is because of the waterborne diseases. And so the clean wells and pumping, you know. And we started in Zimbabwe, and now we're in 4 other countries drilling wells. And that is, we are drilling our 60th well right now. And we are thankful for that. It is wonderful. $6,000. $6,000 to drill a well and provide a pump. And I want to tell you something, that people come and they get water there every single day, year in and year out. You talk about the opportunities. You see, the end game is not physical water. The end game is living water. And you get a chance every single day, because people ask questions, whose well is this? Or can we use the water today? Or it's a drought, everybody line up. Did you know that some of our wells this past year in the drought, that people lined up 4 in the morning and got water until 6 at night? And we're glad we drilled deep enough and none of them went dry. So we drill a well, and the leaders come to us and said, we have no clinic in this area, and there's 15 villages. And so we built a clinic. I don't know how to build a clinic, but I know people that do. You see, it initially, with my old way of thinking, before I accepted Jesus Christ, it would be a problem. But I saw it as an opportunity when they said, we'll give you 4 acres when you build a clinic. And we've got it open now, and we are glad for that. And just in the last 2 weeks, we've had 21 babies born. This guy is interesting because of our good works. Here's all the baptisms we've had this year so far. But this guy's special because 7 years ago, he started drilling wells for us, and he said he wasn't interested in religion, but that he liked what we were doing to help people. And March of this year, he walked into one of our services and said, I'm ready to become a child of God. And that's because of that minister on the right, who never quit encouraging him all through those 7 years. And I'm thankful for that. Blake helped start this. This is the Yes Rally, Youth Exalting the Sun. And now we're in 4 countries, and we'll have 2,000, up to 2,000 young people that come now. And it's just amazing. We have leadership programs going on constantly. And we are thankful for that. And now we're going to build the high school, because, you know, we built the clinic. And I went to see, I see your elementary school. What about your high school? We said, we don't have a high school. I said, I believe we can build a Christian high school. No, I haven't built one before. It's all to do with God. And so they had a piece of land next to the clinic. And I said, but you've got to give us 25 acres. And I said, I thought I was being really bold, and they said, well, we have a problem. 3 days later, they come to me and they say, we have a problem, because there's a piece of land that we cannot break up, and we don't know if you'll take it or not, but it's 70 acres. And I thought about it for a second. I said, okay. And so we've got that for the high school. We hope to open it up in 2019, and here is 2 wonderful young couples. In fact, in Kosi on the right, he was given a great opportunity by the McCaskill family to come here to Fried Hardman and study. In 2 years, he became student body president. He's finished his BA. He's completed a master's already. And he's going back with his wife and another couple. and then this couple's training there. And when we open the school, all of them will have a Bible degree, plus they will have their master's and working on their doctorates, and they'll be between their late 20s and early 30s. It's just wonderful what God can do, what you would think is obstacles. And because of that, we've planted 39 churches in 9 years. And the fourth eldership in 9 years. Isn't that wonderful? Here's another thought. Opportunities are often time sensitive. So Walt says to Walt says to his buddy and says to Art, why don't you come with me? I bought some land out there in California, and it's just barren land. And so Art goes with Walt out to the barren land, and Walt says, if you'll buy the land that I've just purchased, if you buy the land around it, I'll tell you what, you will make some money because you'll get hotels. And Art said he thought that was the craziest idea in the world. And of course, we know that to be Disney World today. My father sent me to Harding. When I came to Harding, my dad said, I can't afford to bring you back after a year. You need to stay 2 years. And so Harding had Northeast campaigns. You see, I said, okay, well, I'll go on that. And I went up into the Northeast, went to Methuen, Massachusetts. And the campaigns at that time in the 70s, when we knocked the door, there's three things that we had to share. We had to share with inviting them to a gospel meeting. I asked them if they were willing to study the Bible, which I was so afraid of. And then if they didn't want to study the Bible, then ask them for a Bible correspondence course. And so here we go knocking these doors. Well, I want you to know it's probably about the fourth or fifth door we knock, and nobody's answering, and I'm not staying very long. You know, I'm kind of doing it, but not, my heart and soul is not into it. And the door opens, and I stutter through the invitation, and then I try to get through, well, we'd like to study the Bible with you really quick, you know, and get to the World Bible Correspondence Course, or the Bible Correspondence Course at that time. World Bible, I don't think it started then. And she said, no, the Bible study. The Bible study. And I said, okay. And then I thought, well, how am I going to get out of this? So I said, well, I'll get somebody. We can call and I will come back Thursday. She says, no, I want to study right now. And I'm going to get my daughter, Glenda. She was in the room, and I want Glenda to come. And then we started. And I thought, well, okay, we can sit down now. What am I? Well, I'm an African. I might as well go to the North African and the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, might as well go look at that passage. I was pre-med at the time. We get through that, and God uses us no matter what. And she says, I want to do just what he did. He said that there is what he said. I said, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? She says, I believe that. Please, I want to be baptized. And I said, okay, well, let me go call somebody. She says, you don't need to call anybody. We've got a swimming pool in the back, and you're about the size of my husband. Come on, put his clothes on. Well, here we go. So I did, you know. I wasn't going to refuse. And needless to say, after I baptized them both, I walked on cloud nine the whole rest of the summer. We got back to school, and this is before the technological age, and I went to my letterbox, post office box, looking for letters from home, because I'd been gone all summer, and there was a letter from Pat, Glenda's mother, and she said, I'm so glad you came by, because 3 weeks ago, Glenda was killed in a car wreck, and I want you to know, that was one motivating factor. I changed my major. But that didn't end. 2 years ago, I was in Lakeland, Florida, and I was preaching at a congregation there, and after it was finished, a lady came up to me. She said, my husband and I just retired from Methuen, Massachusetts, and I want you to know Pat has told me that story. And she said, you don't know this, but her son became a gospel minister. Sometimes we might find out the good that we do, but when we seize opportunities that are time-sensitive, wait at that door a little longer like I did then, or whatever else, great things happen. Wonderful things happen. Well, anyway, let me just say that our whole life is time sensitive. James talks about it being this, and I always think of a kettle because I can see my mom's kettle there, you know, and when it comes to a boil and that steam that comes out so strong right close to the spout and then just fades away. That's our lives. Isn't it wonderful when young people, When teenagers, when preteens give their life to God at such a young age, and then the Lord tarries and they are blessed with decades of life here on earth, and as they look back at their life after they've committed it to God, they think of, they can reflect on all the wonderful blessings and the struggles they worked through, but because of God and all the good that they have done. What a life! He only sees your opportunities when you're willing to walk through that door of, that Jesus is asking us to come and experience that transformation. One final thought. Opportunities are usually missed because of fear. You know, Justin and Beth are coming again this year. She wears a pump, you know, because she is diabetic, and her parents just freaked out when she said her and her husband were coming to Africa on a mission trip. Well, she got back. You know? And by the way, just let me tell you this. There's some of you that got Africa on your bucket list. Think about coming sometime, okay? And I'll give you a wide window, because my dad, who was 90, he went last year, you know? So come. And my wife and I, we've taken over 100 people in the last 3 years, and everyone has come back. So come. Fear. Brother Austin Vimber and his name and fear don't compute. Blake knows him. Blake stayed in his house. He just recently went home to be with the Lord. At his funeral, there was over 3,000 people. And one of the things that I loved is all the preachers that he had converted through the years and now preaching in different churches. In his lifetime, he planted 61 churches. And they stood behind his casket as people came to view his remains, and they sang, those preachers, they sang bass and tenor, they sang for 45 minutes nonstop until everybody had passed through, one song after another. I told somebody, I said, I felt like I was in heaven in the sense I could have stood there all day and listened to them. But he was fearless. He would go to he would go into areas when, and as you know, when Zimbabwe has been unstable many, you know, he'd go into areas and he'd tell the government, he'd say, listen, you know, and he'd lay out what the churches of Christ are doing and the good that they're doing. Don't hold us back. We don't believe in curfew. And I'd say, Brother Austin, you know, you don't know what's... No. Can I just say something here to you all? America, let me just say, is the greatest country that has ever been. And I love America. And I've been an American citizen for a long time. But since I came in 1971, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. The change that has gone on in the morals of our nation. Be a light. Live without fear. Know that we are children of God. And as long as we live on this earth, we have a mission. It matters that we have the right attitude. It matters that we live with joy, but it also matters that we don't compromise, because the bottom line is we do not believe that we live 70 or 80 years, die and become extinct. We believe that there is a Savior who came and created us, gave us life, and then gave us a way to come back for us to join Him again. And so our life goes far beyond this earth. And let's keep that in mind. Not too long ago, I had serious surgery, and I was about to be wheeled in, and my daughter stood and she held my hand, and I could see the concern on her face. And I looked up at her and I said, Laura, I truly believe everything that I have preached and taught my whole life. I believe God's word is true. And she said, Dad, you know, I knew you believed that, but for you to say that, but let's live that. Jesus invites us to come, not to a Sunday casual stroll. He asks us to come and let Him transform us and give us everything that we need to live this life victoriously. We extend an invitation to you. If you want to reaffirm that, or maybe you haven't committed to God, or maybe you're just having that Sunday stroll, but we extend that to you now as we stand and as we sing.